This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
4 o'clock hours here, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. With Derek Johnson, I'm Nick Schwert. Appreciate you hanging out with us. We'll get back into that KU audio here from David Beatty. You can hear from Ryan Shadler, the quarterback, Peyton Bender, and much more coming up between now and 6 o'clock. But right now, let's welcome on our good friend back from the East Coast swing. It's Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World. How was the trip, man?
It was cool. I had a great time. I've never been to Boston or the area, so checking that out was okay. The traffic's miserable there. I've heard that before, but people were not lying. It is brutal. Fenway Park I got to check out, which was fantastically awesome. It was as good or better than the traffic was bad, so that evened out and maybe even was a plus. But the experience, the whole reason that I went, which was to cover Bill Self's induction into the Hall of Fame, was otherworldly is the only way I can describe it, man. It was, I thought it'd be pretty cool. I thought it'd be something fun. I thought we'd get a lot of great coverage out of it. I thought our readers and KU fans would really look forward to kind of checking it out. But it was 10 times cooler than that. It was a different experience than I expected. It was, it was almost like the Oscars. They had the red carpet treatment. They had celebrities left and right from the sports world mostly, but still pretty darn impressive. There's been plenty of impressive sports celebrities over time, and just the way that they treated Coach Self, the way the people that came back and went there to support him, from former players and assistant coaches to family members and all of that stuff. I mean, just the whole thing was just a really, really cool thing to witness and cover. And most importantly, Bill Self was absolutely content, smitten, happy, at peace, just comfortable, relaxed. I mean, the guy soaked up every ounce of that experience and took it all in and took it all in a very genuine manner and had a blast. And that's exactly what you should do when you're being inducted into the Hall of Fame. It shouldn't be a formality. It shouldn't be a business trip. It should be something that you remember for the rest of your life and you cherish. And he absolutely took advantage of it and made the most of it. It was really, really cool to watch that.
It had to be a little, not necessarily surprising, but just kind of fresh to see that, because Bill Self deflects attention when it comes to his personal accolades or records that he's accrued at KU. He always kind of defers to the players. He always deflects attention to other people. But you can't really, I mean, I guess you can, but when you're being inducted into the Hall of Fame, it really is all about you. So I'm sure that was a little different to see.
Yeah, well, and you're right. I mean, he did still do that. I mean, he was talking constantly about how he was very humbled, used the word we more than he used the word I, which is a really cool thing that he does, because I think it's genuine. He talks about his success and his 623 victories as something that we've accomplished, not something that I have accomplished. I mean, it's impressive and it's genuine and it's consistent, and that's him, you know. So he did still do that a fair amount last week, even while being inducted. I mean, talked about feeling inadequate, feeling like he didn't belong there yet, things like that. I mean, so there were definitely some deflections that happened. But, you know, the thing that was, I guess, the most impressive was just that he relaxed and enjoyed it. And you know, this is a guy who is constantly on, constantly in control, constantly, two steps ahead of everything that's happening. Even if it's in a post-game presser, he knows what he's going to say to the question that hasn't even been asked for 5 minutes, you know. And he's always on. He's sharp. He's got it together in every sense. And in this experience and in this environment, it wasn't like he fell apart or anything, not even close. But what he did do was he kind of allowed himself to be in that moment and just kind of float through it as it happened. And you know, when they put the jacket on him, he was there. It wasn't like he had already thought, how should I react when they put this jacket on me? You know, he didn't do that. He didn't prepare. I mean, he wrote a speech ahead of time, but beyond that, everything else was a very organic experience. And for a guy who's so constantly and so successfully in control at all times. It was cool to see him just let that go and let his guard down a little bit and just live right there in that moment. And you know, he's shown signs of that throughout his coaching career here and there. But for the most part, you know, in order to be that successful and sustain that success, you do have to be buttoned up, and you do have to be two steps ahead or 10 steps ahead or whatever it is. So watching him just take it all in was really cool. And you know, there was a moment where Adidas had an after party for Bill Self and Tracy McGrady, because McGrady's an Adidas guy. He sold a billion shoes or something ridiculous during his day and still selling more. And so they had an after party there for all the friends and family members and players and things like that. And there was a moment in there where, you know, we were a few of us from the media anyway that went, were able to check that out, and it was pretty cool. That in itself was a pretty cool scene too. But I walked by Self, you know, on my way to get a ginger ale or something like that, and just him and just me, and I just said, hey, you know, cheers, congratulations. Because, you know, up to that point, we just asked him a bunch of questions and kind of covered it like we cover things. But that was my stories were done. It was just a real moment. And the first thing he said was, hey, thanks. Has this been pretty cool? Have you enjoyed this? Has this been pretty cool? You know, and I said, yeah, it's one of the coolest things ever. And he goes, okay, I don't think it's really sunk in for me yet. And I said, well, it will. And when it does, your mind's going to be blown. But that tells you, I mean, that little exchange, I think, tells you how in the moment he was. He hadn't allowed himself to really take it all in. He was just kind of living in it. And good for him, because, you know, you only get one shot at that. It's not like they're going to re-induct him 10 years from now when he's ready to kind of reflect. They put him in there now, and he took full advantage of it.
You mentioned all of the former players who showed up for the induction, and judging by the pictures I saw, there were a lot of them. And it wasn't just some of the older guys who are maybe working regular jobs and don't have anything better to do. I mean, guys from the league, whether it's Cheick Diallo or Brandon Rush or Andrew Wiggins, I saw was there. I imagine that had to be really cool for Bill Self, knowing that guys like Andrew Wiggins could be doing any number of things this time of year. They're probably getting invites and media appearances and all of these different things they could be doing with their time, but they showed up to kind of support their coach. That had to be a pretty cool moment.
No doubt. And I think he knew a lot of them were going to be there. You know, I think he invited a lot of them to come, which was cool. I mean, that part was particularly cool, I think, for the Oral Roberts guys and the Tulsa guys, because, you know, this guy's gone on to Illinois and Kansas and won a title and been to Final Fours. And, you know, I think in their minds it'd be easy for them or for him to kind of forget them, but he didn't, and he hasn't, and he won't, you know, and he's made that very clear. So for those guys to be invited and, you know, for him to reach out to them and say, I want you to be here, I think that was as cool as anything. Yeah, it was cool to see Mario Chalmers and Andrew Wiggins and Sherron Collins and yada, 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 but it was as cool as anything to just see those guys that were kind of anonymous. You know, a guy named Blake Moses, a guy named James Cruz. I mean, names you've never heard of, guys that are working real jobs, like you talked about. You know, those guys are there, you know, dressed in their suits and tuxedos and you know, rubbing elbows with the likes of some of the biggest names in basketball. I mean, what a cool scene. What a cool thing. So, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, Self, he made no secret of the fact that the whole thing that meant the most to him about the entire experience was the opportunity to kind of look back and reflect on those relationships that he had built in the game of basketball at all those stops. And boy, that lived up to it, because it was cool enough in and of itself, just being sort of an all classes kind of KU reunion. You know, you had guys that never played together, never even knew each other, coming together and hanging out, you know, Christian Moody hanging out with someone like Frank Mason, you know, or whatever. I mean, Sherron Collins hanging out with some of those guys that came way before him on the first KU teams that Self had and things like that, you know. And so to see that was pretty cool. But then when those Illinois guys and those Tulsa guys and those Oral Roberts guys were not only there and present but also brought into that circle, and it wasn't about where you went to school or where you played or where you didn't play. It was about hey, we're all Bill Self guys, and we have that in common, and we all love him, and darn it, he obviously loves us. So let's just have a good time and celebrate the heck out of this thing. And so, you know, that turned a pretty cool reunion of just what would have been cool from a KU perspective into something even cooler, because it was just it just took on a life of its own and had such a bigger and more profound sort of existence.
We're talking to Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal-World here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. So obviously you were out there this weekend, not in Lawrence for the Kansas football game, but I know you got to catch some of it. Something that we talked about in the first segment of the show today is the fact that even if you can accept that the fact that it was a very disappointing outcome and a disappointing performance without having to say that everything we were saying in week one was necessarily inaccurate. I know you mentioned, or you at least spoke to some people about this on Twitter, that's the way I'll phrase it, about the fact that, you know, it looked like a different team in week one, and then all of a sudden that happens in week two. I think if we're talking about this team looking different in week one, we're talking about that offense, and even though it wasn't as good as what we saw against SEMO, this offense and the ability to move the ball down the field and the weapon of receivers they have, I mean, nothing changes there. That is still otherworldly better than what we've seen really over the past decade.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, here's the deal. For whatever it is now, 7-8 years, Kansas fans have been miserable on Saturdays. They've had to watch these awful football teams and bad products with, you know, less talent than the opponent. Less hope than everybody. I mean, you know, it's been a rough go for fans and the program. And throughout that time, you know, the offense was largely to blame. It was often the fact that they couldn't move the ball, get a first down, score a point, throw a touchdown pass to a receiver. I mean, there was a laundry list of sort of just laughable shortcomings that this offense had. And so during that time, what you kind of heard resonate from all corners of the fan base was, you know, this sucks, but I'd like it a lot more if we were getting beat 55-31. You know, if we're going to lose by 24 points or whatever it is, man, let's at least put some points up and show that we have a little bit of a chance and some excitement, and don't make me go up there and watch these 27-3 or 31-10 type blowouts that are just, we have no shot because we can't score. And so you heard that from the fans over and over and over and over, and then what you get on Saturday, you got 45-27, and that was exactly what happened. The offense put up some points, particularly there in the third quarter. It looked like a team that could move the ball and score some points and maybe had a chance, and then the defense gave it back. And so, you know, it's sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't, because now they've experienced opportunities or situations, I guess, where they couldn't score, and so they didn't have a chance to win. But now they do move it a little bit. They do have some weapons, and they can score a little bit, and they're still not putting themselves in positions to win. So, I think we did a podcast the other day on our new podcast, the KU Sports Hour. It's a full hour. We do football and basketball versions. And Bobby Nightingale pointed out that I think he saw it on Twitter or maybe even heard somebody say, this is the first time that I've been disappointed in a David Beatty team. And I hadn't really thought of it in those terms, but, you know, year one, you give them the benefit of the doubt. It's a new coach taking over a mess. You don't expect much. Year two, same sort of thing. You know, it's year two. You're hoping to take some steps forward, but you're not really expecting a whole lot. Well, now year three, with the offseason that they had and the buzz and the excitement that's kind of around the program and some new faces that get you fired up, there is some excitement. There is reason for people to hope and get excited. And so when you can't beat a team that was picked fifth in its division in the MAC at home, a team that you're favored to beat, that is disappointing. And I think it's fair for people to feel that way. So the loss dropped them to 1-1. The loss is one game out of 12. The loss is something that happened in early September. It's disappointing, no question. But I think the bigger factor is what that one single loss did to this fan base, and it just ripped into this chest of this fan base and pulled the heart out and stomped on it. And these people are you know, right back down in the dumps like they were for the past 6-7 years.
And I think you talk about the hype that kind of started to build up this offseason, it almost seems like just basing it off of the initial reaction from a lot of people I talked to and heard their comments from, is that that hype's almost working against them now because those expectations are raised. You lose on Saturday, and then people automatically go to the fact of, well, they're going to fall short of expectations this year. The first real season in which there were expectations for David Beatty. But going back to my initial question, I still don't think that that loss means that this team is not capable of taking a step forward. Now, maybe they're going to not surpass our expectations that we kind of set up for them from the outside, but it still doesn't mean that that progress isn't being made on the field and that this team isn't headed in the right direction.
Totally agree. I mean, you look at Daniel Wise, you look at Torrance Armstrong, those guys when they were freshmen were, you know, okay. They were nothing special. They couldn't play. They didn't play. They didn't play a ton. And now they're a couple of beasts, man. Those guys are defensive linemen that probably anyone in the country would love to have on their team. You know, whether they start or not, who knows, but they would play for just about everybody. And so you can't say because they lost to Central Michigan that those types of things, that type of development, didn't happen or doesn't count. It does count. And it is the sign that this program is taking steps forward. But yeah, year three, because of all those things that I just mentioned about being favored at home and Central Michigan standing in the preseason and how they struggled to beat Rhode Island in week one and things like that. I mean, I guess it's sort of like you put those two things on the scale and you've got this legitimate claim to development and progress and baby steps and things looking good and looking better and there being hope because there's more athletes on the depth chart and there's depth on the depth chart and all those things. So you put that on the left scale and then you put this crushing defeat against a team that you probably should have beaten, everybody expected you to beat, and you put that on the right side of the scale and you see where it falls. And I think right now there's no question, at least from the outside, that right-hand side is much, much heavier and sinking lower to the ground than the left side. Now, that may not be the case in the locker room. That may not be the case at practice. That may not be the way these coaches and players are choosing to look at this, and it shouldn't be. You know, I liked what I heard from some of those guys, particularly Joe Dineen, who said, you know, this isn't the end for us. We got a lot of football left, and we're going to get better, and it's my job to make sure we do, and we stick with it. And so it's nice to hear that. You know, hats off to that kid for that, because it shows what he's made of and the type of leader that he is. But you know, Beatty talked after that game, I think, about the perception versus reality thing. And at some point, the perception, as much as reality matters and is what it is, perception matters too. And right now, that scale example that I talked about is the perception of this thing. And this program is perceived to be a team that's, you know, weighing itself down with negative right now. And they could bounce back. They could go up to Ohio and pick up a huge win against a good football team. And I wouldn't put it past them. I don't know that they'd do it. I don't know that I'd bet $4 on it. But there's nothing that says they can't. So that makes this week as big as last week. But even if that's the case, even if they go, let's say they do go beat Ohio and kind of pull a surprise, I think at that point you're only getting 10 to 15% of those people back on that bandwagon who were ready to go last week. If you move to 2-0, they're all on and they're thinking 3-0 and they're excited and there's some genuine enthusiasm. Well, now you lose to Central Michigan, all those people hop off, and even if you go beat Ohio, I think you're only pulling a little bit of that crew back on. You got to do something better or more special after that and show that that game wasn't a fluke because right now people are just so cynical about it, and it's hard to blame them. It's really hard to blame them for being disappointed and frustrated, and, you know, you got to take it with some reality and just perspective, but yeah, I don't blame anybody for being tired of this. It's crazy to see that it's happening again because I think you probably thought this. I know I did. I really thought this year was going to be a little bit different. I didn't think they were going to win 6, but I thought they could win their non-conference games and maybe have some fun in that way. And right now they're 1-1, so not heading in that direction.
He's Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World and KUSports.com. Always appreciate the time, my man. Thank you once again.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. And, hey, man, congrats to you. I know I gave you a little shout on Twitter, but thrilled for you. And they couldn't have picked a better person. And, man, it's going to be great having you around and doing more of that. And, you know, I mostly like to see on your Facebook account there that you just claim that those post-game videos of you walking to your car are not going to die, you know, that you're going to try to keep that going.
The people's champ for a reason, Matt.
That's right. And you know what? When I saw that, I thought this to myself. We all win today. That's what I, you know. So I'm happy for you. It's a great thing for you personally and professionally, and you deserve the hell out of it. So good for you. But I think we all win in that situation. We get to hear more of you on the radio, and we get to continue to walk with you to your car on bitterly cold nights after Kansas wins. So looking
You're too
forward.
Nice, man. Too nice. Very kind words. I enjoy it when you lay it on thick, especially when you're talking about me, man, so I appreciate that.
Well, it is thick, but it's also genuine. I just like to be a clown for you.
Thanks again, man. Thank I appreciate you. It, man.
Yeah, man, no problem. We'll talk to you soon.
All righty. That's Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal-World and KUSports.com. It's 425 on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Yeah, I enjoy compliments. I enjoy receiving compliments, contrary to popular belief. Just send them my way. I'm very good at receiving them. So if you got anything for me, let me know. Today's Tuesday, the Tuesday news break coming up next, Sergio Dip, the man who's taking the sports nation by storm.